And I just wanted this week, it's been stirring in me and the last for a few weeks and just every once in a while resounding back, blah, blah, blah. But to let you know that in his word, he talks about that we are set apart. Now, as I look around here today, many of us are set apart. You're set apart from her by 5 chairs. You're by 12 rows. You're by 50 feet. We are set apart in more than one way. But God has set us apart. We also can look at that word, thinking about like that of being sanctified. Sanctified comes out of that. And sanctified, set apart, sanctified. And I'm hoping that as I get into the end of the message, I hope the end is better than the beginning. But I believe it'll all be good because it's God's word. And I just pray that he speaks it through me by that of the anointing of the Spirit. And that he will trip little triggers in me to even say things that I don't even have on my paper, but I just want to make sure they're his sayings, not mine. So, Tim, disconnect your brain, put the mind of Christ in. Amen. But I want to end at the point of being that he also speaks of us as being a treasure. People in our churches go through many things. Good, wonderful people. And I wanted to drive this point home today that with God and what God sees in us, we are a treasure. Can you believe that? A treasure. We're going to look what some of that looks like. So as I begin, it says, we hear at times that you were born for such a time as this. Isn't that exciting to know? But here's the question to the side of that is, do you believe it? You were born for such a time as this. August already, 6th is it? 2023. Time marches on. Time stops for no one. And for sure, God will not stop the time unless he wants to. There's been instances where he's caused the sun to stay, you know. But God is on his time schedule, and we just need to be on his train. Amen. We don't want to be left on the tracks. We don't want to be left on the boarding area of the platform. We want to be on his train. We want to be on his path, on his rail. Where he is going, we want to go because he has set us apart to do a job for him. And that's why you've been placed here. Here in Harvester's Church, here in Rock County, here in Janesville, here in Beloit, here wherever it might be, here in your job, here in your apartment, wherever it is, you have been sent with a mission. Amen. And so, we've got to believe that. Or have you fallen for the lie of Satan that really, you know what? We hear a lot of people feel like, I don't what? Matter. My life isn't worth anything. There's nothing good in me. What am I here for? But God created all of us, amen? He's created us, those that have heard the call, have responded, and are in his church, in a relationship with him through that of Jesus Christ. He has called those that are outside still the church. He is still calling and beckoning them to come into what? That relationship through that of Jesus Christ. The Spirit is continuing, moving, and working. Do you believe it today? And drawing on people to come into the kingdom. And guess what? Part of that working of the Holy Spirit is working through who? Us. We are the agent of the Holy Spirit. We are the agent of God. God is in us, working through us, and he wants us to be aware of that. But he wants you to know today he has set you apart. He has sanctified you. And at the very end, you are a treasure to him. Amen. We get in the very beginning, before I get where I need to go, we've heard many times this area of Scripture. God tells us that he knew us before even being formed in our mother's womb. This is back in Jeremiah 1:5. Speaking of that of Jeremiah the prophet, okay? It says, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I set you apart. This is for Jeremiah, this is for a prophet, and he set apart all of his prophets, he sets apart, but he has set us apart as well. Do you understand that for today, that we have been set apart? Do you also believe and trust him in his word that he knew you before you were in your mother's womb? Amen. Encouragement to know that God is aware of everything, and God has a precise plan. God is not just throwing things up in the air And wherever the wind blows, that's where that feather's going to go. No, he has a divine, specific plan for all of us. Now, we may look at our life sometimes and wonder how we got here or got where we're at currently with him. But as we have remained faithful to him and have taken the challenge that he's given us and received the call that he's called us all to do, he has led us and has been with us, and it's not by accident that we are where we're at today. It is not by accident where you are at in God's timing. It's all planned out. Amen? Isn't it great to know that God is the master planner? Hallelujah. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I set you apart. The Amplified says this, that before I formed you in the womb, I knew and approved of you as my chosen instrument. We are an instrument used by that of God. Hallelujah. Jeremiah, before he's getting going, you know, the prophet and things he had planned for Jeremiah, he is saying that, I have chosen you. You are my instrument. We are today an instrument by that of God is using us. Before you were born, I separated and I set you apart, consecrating you, and I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. We may not go speak to nations. Now, some, that maybe through that of our missions, even as Doug, he goes into the Native Americans, into that nation, and he's speaking the things of God. He's going into that nation and sharing hope, sharing the love, sharing that their lives are important, that they do have a plan, and God is there with them. We have mission and missionaries that are overseas. They're going into those nations, and they're speaking that. Do you believe it or not that America is a nation as well? And as we have missionaries that are even homebound, you know, home in America, that are going out and speaking and evangelizing and leading people to the Lord and sharing the good things of God, we need that even in our nation here. We are challenged with that as a child of God, that we have that task before us, even for all of us here today in this room, to pick up that cross, to pick up that message and go forth. When we look at this in Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, we can look at God's sovereignty is showing here that he has formed and sanctified or set apart and ordained or appointed Jeremiah to be a prophet. A prophet is one who is called and to be his spokesman to the nations. We are as well given that challenge, I believe, to be a spokesman or a spokesperson to wherever God has put us. We are not just to receive his love and his grace and his mercy and all the good stuff and keep it for ourselves. We are to be a mouthpiece going out and sharing and being visible and the light that we are to be. Do you believe that? In Ephesians 1:3-5, this is speaking of this where he, in Ephesians, before the foundations of the world, God before creation, God before anything is here. Look at what Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 5. I'll just start. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. This is Ephesians chapter 1. I'm starting at the beginning. To the saints who are in Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus, and are faithful in who? Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Here it is. We're getting closer now. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with what? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4. Just as he chose us in him before the what? Foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He chose us before him, the foundation of the world. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, it speaks of in his word. So we've got to keep that forefront that we are chosen. Amen? That we are sanctified, that we are consecrated, that we are set apart, that we are a treasure to God. You are valuable, amen? In the Amplified for Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 5, may blessings, this is praise, laudation, and eulogy, may be to that of God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's the Messiah, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual, given by that of the Holy Spirit, blessing in heavenly realm, even as, in his love, he chose us, which means this, actually picked us out for himself as his own. Oh, boy. Woo! Anybody gone out and picked strawberries? Picking, you know, berries, picking, you know, apples, picking tomatoes, picking. When you go out and you pick strawberries, what are you looking for when you go out and you're picking something in the natural? Are you looking for something that's shriveled up? Something that is of small or something that is large? Looking for something that's fully developed or something like, oh, that got some kind of a disease on it or it's got something that's happened to it. No, when we go out and we pick things, we're picking, usually we want to pick the what? The best or the worst? We want to pick the best. Now, we may not be gardeners, but I do shop, so I can go into a grocery store, Woodman's or some of them, go into their produce area, and it's already been picked for me, but as it's been already picked, I'm picking it again. I'm trying to find out where is that good apple, where is that good peach, where is that good bananas, whatever it might be. We are constantly looking and picking what we pick out to be the best. Even as in his love, in the Amplified, Ephesians 1, verse 4, he chose us, or in brackets in the Amplified it says, actually picked us out for himself as his own. Why? He loves us. In Christ before what? The foundation of the world, that we should be holy. This word holy talks about being consecrated and set apart for him. And to be blameless in his sight, even to be above reproach before him in love. Verse 5, for he foreordained us. This word then comes to this point of meaning. He destined us, or he planned in love for us to be adopted or revealed as his own children through who? Jesus! We have, and we hear about that, we have been adopted into the family. Amen? Jew, Gentile, it doesn't matter. You know, he came for the Jews, the Jewish people first, but then the Gentiles, we were the benefit. We got the benefit of all that. And then it's for the Gentiles. It's for us as well. His own children through Jesus Christ in accordance with the purpose of his will. Why is that? Because it pleased him and was his kind intent. It was God's all along intent for you to be here, for him to have a plan for you. What is your intent? What is his intent? I didn't look that word up, but it comes to mind now a little bit of thinking about when you talk to somebody and it's like, well, what were you intending to do when they catch somebody? It was the intent of what that action was going to be about, whether it was good or bad. You know, you think of that in the bad. I don't know exactly how it all formulates, but, you know, thinking of the laws and things, but it's like, well, what was the intent of that person when they did that or when they didn't do that or whatever the case might be? So the laws and the things, we look at the intent of things. Well, as we look at God here, it pleased him and it was his kind. He intended for us. He wants us. He's got a plan for us. He intends for us to be there for him. He wants us to be there for him, so that he can use us, work through us, speak through us, to use our hands, our feet, our voice, to use even your personalities, the things that he has put into you, to be able to be an example. So these are things that in the very beginning as I began to look at this, you're thinking about, you know, being set apart and things. Well, he has a plan for us. He has a part for us to go. But reason is that he had already set us apart. He already has a plan because he knew us before we were formed. He knew us before the foundations of the world was put into place. So I don't know about you, but that kind of gives me some excitement. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. So maybe we'll get into this now. So today I want to share regarding to you and me that we are and have been set apart. We have been sanctified for the works of God, the God that has planned for us even before we were born. Just imagine, I look at the ages in here, and some of us go back, you know, into the 30s, the 20s, the 40s, the 50s, or whatever, the 70s, 60s, 80s, whatever the case is. We got a myriad of ages, myriad of years that are showing throughout this place. And even back then, we were born for such a time as even now we came upon this earth. What an interesting thing. If you just let that just resonate in your spirit a little bit, or your thoughts, that like, in 1956, boom, Tim appears in the world. 2023, Tim is here doing this. You know, the years from 56 to 2023 and what happens from here on out, I don't know. But I know it'll be good. I know it will be good because God is good and God has a plan and God has a purpose and God has a direction and God has his strength and he will put his strength within me. He will put his strength in each of you. He will open your eyes to the things that he has for you to do. He will open your ears, your spiritual ears. He speaks to you that you, as you're reading his word, through that of the Holy Spirit speaking into your spirit, you will hear things from God. You will understand things from God. Why is that? Because he sanctified you. He has set you apart. The blood of Jesus. Last week we showed or spoke about the message of the cross. The cross is where it began. On the cross, Jesus hung. On the cross, Jesus died. He died for you. He died for me. He died for every sinner that's around this world. And the power of the blood is still powerful today. By his blood, our sins have been washed clean as snow. And that is what sanctified us. That's what has set us apart. Amen. Hallelujah. So I started with 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy 2:21. 2 Timothy 2:21. We're sharing in Timothy here. It's starting about approved and disapproved workers and things of that nature as we go through it. But as we get to the nuts and the bolts, Verse 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God, this is 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands having this seal. The Lord knows those who are what? His. Are you his? If you are, he knows you. He sees where you're at today. And let everyone who names the names of Christ depart from iniquity. Uh-oh. Get away from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for what? Dishonor. And here it is. This is here the purpose of how we are set apart, because in 21 it says what? Therefore, if anyone, this is New King James, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be what? A vessel of honor. If he will cleanse himself from being of clay and wood and of dishonor, if you cleanse yourself from the latter, he will be a vessel, you, us, me, they, will be a vessel for honor, being what? Sanctified. Sanctified is that of set apart and useful for what? The master, and prepared for every good work. Wow! We are set apart. We are prepared for what? Every good work. Hallelujah. I've got to look at that word, if I remember. Prepared. So as we say, useful for the master. We've been set apart, sanctified. Useful for the master. Oh, hallelujah. Prepared. Prepared is this, to make ready. He has made you ready. You've got to know, are you ready? Amen. To make ready, to prepare, to make arrangements. This is all that word of being prepared. In addition to its normal use describing preparation for coming events, the word is used for preparation for that of the Messiah coming, of the blessings that God has ordained for us, and the judgment as well. But as we are being prepared, sanctified, useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Are you ready? Are you making arrangements? Are you getting ready for the coming events? That kind of ties into a little bit, John, on we talk about Thursday, is about being the watchman for the coming events. We have been set apart. We have been sanctified. We are preparing. We are watching. The children of God, we are hearing. We are sensing. We're reading in his word, and it tells us about the end times. But as we are aware of the word of God and it's in our spirit, then as we look at the things around us happening in our sphere of our world and of today, we begin to see the preparing for the things that are coming. The sad thing is the people out there, they're not prepared for the things of God. Why is that? Because they're focused on the worldly things. They're focused on those things out there. And sometimes the people in the world, they think everything's going good. They're going good because why? The government or society or this organization or that group of people, they say, don't worry, it's all good. We'll take care of it. It'll be fine. We were sharing in our Sunday school hour, just going through Proverbs and speaking about wisdom. How you got to have wisdom, you got to have knowledge, you got to have knowing when to use the knowledge. That's the wisdom that you have and when to apply it. But we have so many crazy things in our world that, and I brought up because I heard on the news, and some of the others already knew it, but how I heard on the news a day or two back, and that's being brought to light. It might have been out there. I don't listen to the news every day, I just periodically. But they're finding that some of these all-electric cars, that if the battery goes on the blink, your door will not open, and you will be locked in your car. Now, many of these manufacturers, they've got like a release to bypass that, but it's sometimes under the seat, over in this area. It's under the armrest underneath where you got to go, you know, down and under and pull it. You know, we're sitting back there thinking, like, wouldn't the common sense be, wouldn't you put like a button somewhere on the front dash somewhere that says, if you lose total power, hit this button to escape. It's basically got you locked in that Tesla. And they're going to send you to, you know, back to the future. I don't know, you know. But it's crazy to think, and these are bringing up like emergency responders and firefighters saying how dangerous it's been when they've gotten calls and they get into a situation and they got to get somebody out of a car. If it's been in an accident and the battery goes kaput and there's no power to it, they go to the door, and there's nothing to open. But out in the world, people are thinking everything's fine. Everything's fine. But us in the kingdom of God, we look at things like that thinking, well, that's stupid. That's dumb. I'm glad I still got a handle on my door. The world out there is just not being prepared. We, as children of God, we read His Word, we digest it, we allow the Spirit to enlighten us with it even more. We begin to look around at things, and we can see the crazy things coming that the people out in the world will stand right in the middle of a train track and let the train hit them because they're oblivious to that thing coming at them in a way. That's the society and where we are at in these days. But it's going to grow worse. But thank God we are set apart. Amen. Thank God that He has sanctified, set apart, consecrated us to do His work, to be alert. Oh, thank you, Father, to be prepared, looking for things that are coming. But that's that word, Master, prepared for every good work. In the New Living, it says here that Paul is urging Timothy to be the kind of person Christ could use for His noblest, for the noblest purposes that He would have. We are being used for just noble reasons. You know, God has a just wonderful things for us, and it's to help and to share and to love and to show people God. We shouldn't settle for anything less than God's highest and best. We need to allow God to use us as what? An instrument of His will. Amen. An instrument of whose will? His will, not my will. Don't we pray that? Not my will, but Thy will be done. If we keep everything in perspective, people, God's will, His purpose, His reason, His desires, doesn't matter what Tim thinks. He might entertain a thought of mine. He might say, well, okay, Tim, what do you think? And I might say something. And, you know, I think sometimes God might sometimes get to the point and say, it's not open for discussion, Tim. Where were you when I created the foundations of this world? I don't know. You knew where I was at. Where was I? Because He knew me before. I don't know, God. Where was I? So we got to trust God. God's got the plan. Amen. He's got the plan, and He will work the plan. He's needing planners to be working with Him so that we can be instrumental in bringing that plan forth so the people of this world can see it, hear it, see the representation of it, see us as we go forth of the love of God in us, amen, the light, the salt, whatever we want to be called, that we go forth showing the love and the things of God. And what God has for me, He has for them. No respecter of person or place. God doesn't change. He's always the same. He's just got multifacets that just begins to continue to open up and reveal itself to us as we get deeper into His Word or deeper into our life with Him, that He saturates us with even more of Himself. That pretty soon, like the word says, to have the mind of Christ. I've still got too much of Tim's mind. How about you guys? Help me, Lord. Change my mind. To be sanctified. Now, let's look at that. Cambridge Dictionary says, to make something or someone holy. You have been made holy. That's pretty exciting. To make something or someone holy. To be set apart. We've had against that, you know, to be set apart. If a quality or a characteristic sets something or someone apart, it shows him or her or it to be different from and usually better than others of the same type. That's out of the Cambridge Dictionary. It's a quality or a characteristic sets someone or something apart. It shows him or her or it to be different from and usually better than others of the same type. We go to that point, I'm no better than those out there, amen, but yet I am better because I've got the Spirit of God in me. I'm a child of God. I'm His, amen. So there is something that does set us apart from those world. And the thing is, I had to get to that point to where I was cleansed, amen. I had to be cleansed by the blood. The blood washes away the sin. I've got to keep walking in that. And when I do fall, and when a sin comes up, I've got to be quick to repent, quick to ask for forgiveness, to keep myself as a vessel of honor for God, amen. And it's just not me, it's you as well for the child of God. But we are better than them out there, not because of who I am and what I'm about and that I'm stronger and I'm smarter. I am better only because I've got God on my side and I've learned not to listen to the lies of the enemy, the god of this world, Satan. So I'm not boasting, you know, I'm a sinner just like them, but I was saved by grace. So there's got to be something different about us. It's not we go out and haughty and say, oh, look at me, I'm so special. But it's something that we just know within ourselves that God loves us. We are a treasure because of where we're at with Him. Because God says, I'll get to there, that He set us apart. Set apart. So we talked about to be different from and usually better than others of the same. The Webster Dictionary for that of being set apart is to keep or intend for a special purpose. We are a special group of people in the kingdom of God, but He has set us apart for an intended special purpose. And that purpose is to proclaim Him. Amen. Proclaim the love of God. There's basic things that you can proclaim, and it doesn't take a whole lot. Of a lot of talking. We did some revision and updating of a sign just in front of the church. I encourage you when you leave to pay attention to it if you hadn't noticed it when you drove in. But out on the road, we have a sign that says Harvesters Church, you know, quarter mile, blah, blah, blah. And on the bottom of that sign, it says, God loves you. Now, we know everybody says, God loves me. Yes, God does love me. My God loves me, your God loves me, all God's children. But some of all of God's children have many different gods. So that's kind of could be a very generic thing when we talk about God, but we know the God, my God, the Creator, right? Your God, the Creator. But we could have people other the faiths and persuasions and things of the world where their God is a tree. Their God is a rock. Their God is a bird. I don't know. So anyway, out on the road it says, God loves you. Ooh, that's cool. And then they get down here and they get ready to pull in the church, and I put the sign out there that says Harvest Church, and then it says Jesus is Lord. Now we get down to the little definitive of it. Now Jesus. Now this church is talking about Jesus. Now we got a problem for some people, right? The mere mention of His name will cause people to be hostile sometimes. Oh, Jesus? Oh, yeah. Oh, one of those Jesus freaks? Oh, Jesus, the guy that was born of a virgin? Oh, the guy that died and came and rose again? Oh, well. Yes! That's the Jesus! The Son of God, amen? God in the flesh. Now we're getting down. I was talking to Dan. I said, so if nothing else, they'll drive down here. Oh, God is love. They'll get here to the church and say, Jesus is Lord. I'm not getting into that church. They may drive on by. It's their loss. But I want people to know that Jesus is Lord. Amen? Proclaiming now, if we had another sign, I'd probably put on there, led by the Holy Spirit. So we might get people that know of God, know the God, know Jesus, but then when we start talking about the Holy Spirit, that might be a little bit over the edge. It's sad but funny to think, and sometimes when you start talking in the Christian circles to people, when you start talking about the triunity of God, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, that you lose them when you get to the Holy Spirit, some people. And they would rather just walk out and not even understand it or go with it, thinking like, wow, now you're really out there. But we're set apart. We are sanctified. We are vessels of honor. And to be vessels of honor, we've got to proclaim the what? Full gospel. The full gospel is God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. The full gospel is there's healing for today. The gospel is there's salvation for today. The gospel is you can be forgiven of your sins. Yes, even somebody that does an atrocious sin, if they truly repent of that of God, God forgives them of that sin. Our intellectual mind may not understand that, but through that of God, he's been forgiven. Now, we're not going to get into all that, but then you have to follow and obey the laws of the land and things like that, and there's repercussions of breaking the laws of the land. But for that of God, God has forgiven them. But we have to understand these things, that God is God. And it's his way and nobody else's way. You're not going to talk him to change. You're not going to change his inset or his mindset or the things he's got. God has set all this up from the very beginning of the foundations before the world was formed. So the Webster is saying that we are to keep or intend for a special purpose, to be set apart. Sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Ooh. That's what sanctified is, to be set apart. So to sanctify an object means to wash, to cleanse, to consecrate, or to set it aside for a special purpose. Sanctification is a Christian teaching about how God transforms a person, making them fit for a holy purpose. Sanctification includes a change of heart. You got to change your heart, amen? Change your heart. You got to have a desire to love God and other people. You got to change your heart. You got to change your mind. You got to begin to renew your mind. You got to do some changing within who you were. You were created before all these things happened, but then once we come into this life, we were born into a life in the world of sin, and it's just a basic sin nature because the spiritual man is dead because of sin that's in the world, but we come reborn again by that of Jesus Christ, confessing him as our Lord. That, Lord, I receive you. Thank you, Lord. Forgive me of my sins. You are my Lord and Savior. We call it being born again, to where our salvation is that of taken care of through that of the blood of Jesus. Amen? So as we are changed, it's changed for a purpose. Amen? We're not changed just to come to church and sit in the chairs and enjoy just our time. We are changed to go out and proclaim. Amen? Changed to proclaim the good news of God. Changed to go out and make a difference in other people's lives. Not that I am going to make a difference in their lives, but what I've got to share with them will make a change in their life if they willingly receive it or begin to at least explore it like I did. We all at least have to share and shout the message to say, hey, Jesus died for you. And allow the Spirit to draw them and work them and to woo them and to begin to open them up. So in 2 Timothy 2:21, Amplified says, so, whoever cleanses himself from what is ignoble or unclean, who separates himself from contact with contaminating and corrupting influences, will then himself be a vessel set apart and useful for an honorable and noble purpose, consecrated and profitable to the master, fit and ready for any good work. There you go. Hallelujah. Fit for any good work. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. I'm not going to tell you about the treasure. Not today. You got to come back for that. I've shared enough with you, letting you know that you've been sanctified, set apart, consecrated for a reason and a purpose, and that God has a big, big plan for you, and that he's going to work that plan through you, and that we have been set here for a purpose, and I pray that we fulfill that purpose. Amen. Jesus died for all of us. And I think it behooves us to pick up our part to play and to fulfill that with God. And even when things are not going the way you think it, just slow down and turn it over back to God and say, God, here I am. Did I miss it somewhere? Did I get off track? Do I need to, you know, go back a step or two? But he says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. But, you know, if we go off of our own little things here and there, he will let you walk away from him, but he's not going to walk away from you. And many people have walked away from that of God. Many people have walked away from Jesus. Many people have walked away from the Holy Spirit. Many people have walked away from the church and to go out and do their own little thing for whatever reason. And that's just what the enemy wants. The enemy wants to subdivide, redivide the church in so many splintered areas that there begins to be no power in the church, no power in a corporate unity of a body of Christ that can be come together and pray and lift up the needs. Remember to go forth into and proclaim the word of God, to go into the nation. We got a nation of America that needs much more of salvation. The nation of America, we need more of that, of the word of God being put into those of leadership in our governments and our areas of leaders in our country. And the more that we need them, it seems like the more that we're not seeing them, that it's going the other way. And so, yes, we might look at it and think like the enemy must really be winning and we're losing, but we're winning. We gain. We win at the end. Amen. I just know that we are already on a winning team. Don't look at the circumstances around you. Keep your eyes focused on that of the prize. Yeah? Keep your eyes understanding of that message that the cross is so powerfully speaking every day. And even thinking back of the things of what Jesus was about. And now that we look at these things that, you know, we are formed, or before the world was formed, he knew us. And before these things were taking place, he has a plan for us. And I pray that you follow and find that plan that God has for your life. But the thing is, I guess what I end at 2 Timothy 2:21, and I didn't write any more notes down on my paper. All of a sudden, I just started putting some scriptures down back into some other areas of the Bible, and just was wanting to kind of lead off into that. And now, time-wise, at like quarter till, I don't think I'll do it justice. And I want to be able to share as much as I can. That's the exciting time when you kind of just start going off of that and say, okay, Lord, here we go. Let's just, it's you and me, and it's all you. You, Lord, bring forth to get the people. But I think next week when you come back, well, I think you'll appreciate it. And I think even thinking about it this week, about how we are a treasure, that God treasures us, amen? That God doesn't make junk. That if we get a hold of him as we allow him to get a hold of us, we can turn from that wood and stubble vessel to a vessel of honor. And I pray that we are here today, that of vessels of honor, amen? And that God is moving and working through us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for this time. Lord, I appreciate, Father, your patience with all of us. But Lord, I thank you how you lead us and guide us, and how your word is that of the directions for our lives here today, and for what you have planned for us for tomorrow. Lord, I pray that we all will walk into what that plan is for us. I thank you, Lord, for those that are here today. I thank you, Father, that you have already set us apart, consecrated us, sanctified us, and that we are a special people, Lord God. But Lord, let us continue to go forth and spread your message to those around us that need to hear it. And let us be a light to those that are in darkness. Let us share that love that is so much entrenched in that of Jesus. That the compassion and the love that Jesus had, let it flow through us as we speak to those around us, even to those that may be our enemies, Lord, that we're able to look at them with a different light, that we're able to look at them as you see them. Forgive us, Lord, of our trespasses. Forgive us, Lord, of the things that we have erred in, even after coming to you through that of Jesus Christ. Forgive us, Lord. Thank you for working with us. Thank you for forgiveness of those sins, Lord, through that of the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.